Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Welcome everyone to our session. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina astafa wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man tabi'ahum bi ihsanin ila yawm al-jaza'. Welcome to our resumption of the Maraqi wa Sa'adat of Imam Ash-Shurumbulali al-Hanafi rahimahullah. We had a little break for Eid. And then we are now back to our text, which we're going through. As far as I remember, we came up to the point of the Shafa'ah. I will continue reading, then translate and explain briefly the text that we read. Inshallah, hopefully we can get quite a bit covered today. Of course, as with any of these sessions, feel free to ask your questions, any points of clarification, whether in the chat box or just raise your hand and hopefully I can see you on the side panel. So the Sheikh, Nafa'an Allahu Bih, he says, وَشَفَاعَةُ الْمُصْطَفَى الشَّفَاعَةُ الْعُذْمَى لِفَصْلِ الْقَضَاءِ وَوُرُودِ حَوْضِهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وسلم انطاق الجوارح جوارح حق والجنه والنار حق وهما موجودتان الان ولا فناء لهما ولا لاهلهما ابدا فان الله سبحانه وتعالى خلق الجنه والنار قبل الخلق وخلق لهما اهلا يدخله اهل الجنه بفضله ويكرمهم بان يريهم ذاته تعالى وتقدس من غير كيف ولا تشبيه يدخل أهل النار النار بعدله ويخرج منها من عذب بذنب من المؤمنين إذ لا يخلد مؤمن في النار ويجوز أن يعفو سبحانه بكرمه. We'll pause there for the translation. Here, rahimahullah, he says, the great shafa'ah, or the great act of intercession on the Day of Judgment, the shafa'at al-uzma, is the shafa'ah that our Nabi alayhi afdalu salat wa atamu taslim will request from Allah Azza wa Jal for the sins of his ummah, the major sins of his ummah. This intercession, it has been granted to the Messenger of Allah. لفصل القضاء, you know, for the final judgment on the Day of Judgment. And then he says, this is true, حق. وورود حوضه صلى الله عليه وسلم حق. وانطاق الجوارح حق. The fact that limbs will testify, and the fact that there is a pool where a watering pool where all will approach, where the Messenger of Allah will be, And the believers, the true believers, who will approach him at that pool and be welcomed, that is true, that is real. And then he says, "Wal Jannah wa Nar Haq." Paradise and hellfire are real, they're true. They exist now, and they will never ever end. They will never ever cease, they won't become extinct. Neither paradise nor hell will become extinct, nor its inhabitants. So the inhabitants of paradise will remain forever and ever, and the inhabitants of hellfire will be in there forever and ever. And then Allah Most High, He created both paradise and hell before He created creation, i.e. before He created people or the world itself. So قبل الخلق here means before He created people, He created heaven. خلق most likely here means people. Before He created people or those sentient beings with moral responsibility, whether human beings or jinn, Allah created heaven and hell before He created morally free creatures. And then he says that when Allah created heaven and hell, then he, of course, created the inhabitants for them. He also created the inhabitants for them. And everyone who will go to end up eventually in paradise will be entered into paradise on account of Allah's bounty, on account of Allah's, his fadl, his grace, his generosity. So not necessarily because of the amal. Ultimately, is not because of the actions. Ultimately, it's by the fadl of Allah Azza wa Jal. And then those whom he bestows that generosity and that grace to enter paradise, he will grant them the beatific vision. بِأَنْ يُرِيَهُمْ ذَاتَهُ تَعَالَى تَعَالَى وَتَقَدَّسَ مِنْ غَيْرِ كَيْفٍ وَلَا تَشْبِيهٍ. So Allah will grant the beatific vision, the beholding, the splendid beholding of Allah Azza wa Jal, the vision of Allah Azza wa Jal, his essence, Allah himself, will be made, will be in splendor before the believers who are given the honor of and grace of paradise. And this is without modality or without any kind of corporealism or something like that, anything that suggests resembling creation. How that is, we don't know, because that's beyond the aql, the idraq al-aql, that's beyond the aql to be able to comprehend. But it's a fact and it's true because the Quran mentions it, and we know that the Quran is true based on rational evidence. And then he says people of fire will be entered into the fire, people of hell will be entered into hell on account of Allah's justice. They will be entered on account of his justice, bi'adalihi. Some believers will be entered temporarily into hellfire because of their sins. After they have paid the penalty for their sins, they are taken out, and hence no believer, لا يخلد مؤمنون في النار. No believer will remain eternally in hellfire. Then he says, وَيَجُوزُ أَن يَعْفُ سُبْحَانَهُ بِكَرَمِ. That it is possible that Allah, Most High, pardon those who are deserving of punishment due to their sins. And that is purely by his grace. Again, that is purely by his grace. وَبِشَفَاعَةِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ أَوْ شَفَاعَةِ بَعْضِ الْأَخْيَارِ عَمَّنْ إِسْتَحَقَّ الْعَذَابِ بِالذَّنْبِ لَا بِالْكُفُرِ فَإِنَّ الْعَفْوَ عَنِ الْكُفُرِ لَا يَجُوزُ. So Allah Most High will pardon those who are deserving of punishment due to their sins because on account of his grace, through the intercession, بِشَفَاعَةِ النَّبِيِّ, through the auspices of the intercession of his prophet. So by the prophet interceding on behalf of those who are sinners, they will be forgiven on account of this intercession, because of this intercession. Or it could be because of the intercession of some of his elite servants, al-akhyar. But this is only because of those who are sinful. Now, those who harbor disbelief, then no amount of intercession will be efficacious. You can't pardon a disbelief. And this is because of Allah's decree that those who have willfully disbelieved in Allah, then they will face the consequences of that free decision to rebel against Allah Azza wa Jal and refuse Allah Azza wa Jal. And this is because Allah has informed in the Kitab and the Sunnah, the Quran, and the statements of the Messenger of Allah, that he won't pardon disbelief. He won't pardon disbelief. Is it rationally possible? Sure. But Allah has informed us that this will not be the case. فَإِنَّ الْعَفْوَ عَنِ الْكُفْرِ لَا يَجُوزُ. So pardoning disbelief is not possible. Then he says, rahimahullah, لا نكفر أحدا من أهل القبلة بذنب ما لم يستحله ونعتقد جواز تكفير السيئات بالحسنات. قال تعالى إن الحسنات يذهبن السيئات ولا يجوز أن تبطل حسنات بشؤوم المعاصي إلا بالكفر. قال تعالى ومن يكفر بالإيمان فقد حبط عمله وهو في الآخرة من الخاسرين. ولا نقول لا نضر مع الإيمان ذنب لمن عمله ولا نرجو ونرجو الجنة للمؤمنين المحسنين ولا نأمن عليهم ولا نشهد بالجنة إلا لمن أكرمه الله تعالى بدخولها نصا. ونستغفر للمؤمنين المسيئين ونخاف عليهم ولا نقنطهم فإن الأمن والإياس ينقلان من الملة وسبيل الحق بينهما لأهل القبلة. ولا يخرج العبد من الإيمان إلا بجحود ما أدخله فيه. So here, rahimahullah, he says, we do not declare anyone, we do not pronounce anyone who prays towards a Qibla to be a disbeliever. We do not excommunicate anyone from the faith, from the community, if they pray towards a Qibla on account of their sin. So if they do a sin, that doesn't excommunicate them from the community. That doesn't mean that they are now no longer Muslims. Unless, مَا لَمْ يَسْتَحِلَّهُ, unless the person who commits the sin knows for sure, believes with conviction that the sin is something acceptable, it's legal, it's allowed to do, and the evidence has been shown against him that it's not the case, yet he or she refuses to accept that and deems permissible that particular sin. Then he says, we believe in the possibility of bad deeds being erased by good deeds, because this is based on the verse of the Quran, that indeed, indeed good deeds cause evil ones to disappear. But the opposite is not the case. It is not the case. وَلَا يَجُوزَ أَن تَبْتُلَ الْحَسَنَاتُ بِشُؤُومِ الْمَعَاصِي إِلَّا بِالْكُفُرِ. So no act of disobedience or recalcitrance or infraction or sin can wipe out good deeds. Except, of course, kufr, because that nullifies all good deeds. Because once you disbelieve, you are no longer a believer, all your acts are now nullified. They have no valid basis. And then he says, we don't say that, or we don't maintain that a sin committed by a believer isn't going to harm him in the sense that it's not going to affect negatively on his iman, his belief, his faith, or the quality and strength of his faith. Yeah. So he says, we do not uphold that a sin committed by a believer will not harm him. We do hope for paradise to be granted to any and all believers. نَرْجُوا جَنَّ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. But though we hope paradise for everyone, we do not guarantee paradise. Yet we do not guarantee paradise for anyone, except for those that Allah Azza wa Jalla has honored with the entrance into paradise. I explicitly either mentioned in the Quran or referred to by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we can't guarantee anyone paradise unless Allah has mentioned a specific person as being a person of paradise, like the Ashara Mubashar bil Jannah, the 10 promised companions promised paradise. And he says, وَلَا نَأْمَنُ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا نَشْهَدُ بِالْجَنَّةِ إِلَّا لِمَنْ أَكْرَمَهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى بِدُخُولِهَا نَصًا وَنَسْتَغْفِرُ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ الْمُسِيئِينَ. We seek forgiveness for the believers that commit sins. وَنَخَافُ عَلَيْهِمْ, yet we fear for them. وَلَا نُقَنِّتُهُمْ, and we do not. But even though we fear for everyone's afterlife safety, i.e. whether they're going to be saved or damned, though we fear for each ourselves and everyone else, we do not despair. لا نقنطهم. We do not despair, though, in divine mercy. Why? Because this can take us out the fold of Islam. Thinking that you're guaranteed paradise when you're not, and believing that you're definitely going to go to paradise, you're guaranteed, this is very, very dangerous. Also, despairing of someone being given, despairing of someone of attaining paradise is also very, very dangerous. We have no right to say that divine mercy isn't expansive enough to include someone who we think are excluded. And yet, we shouldn't have any confidence in our own selves to think that we are guaranteed paradise. وَيَنْقُلَا مِنَ الْمِلَّةِ وَسَبِيلُ الْحَقِّ وَسَبِيلُ الْحَقِّ بَيْنَهُمَا. The truth is really between both the positions. لِأَهْلِ الْقِبْلَةِ وَلَا يَخْرُجُ الْعَبْدُ مِنَ الْإِيمَانِ إِلَّا بِجُحُودِ مَا أَدْخَلَهُ فِيهِ. And a person is not considered to have left the faith unless or except by denying that which required him, that which was conditional for him to become a believer. So that which originally caused him to enter the faith, he can only be he can only fall out of the faith by negating that which brought him into the faith. So negation of arkan al-iman, the pillars of faith or anything entailed by them that is necessary to believe in, unless one rejects those or denies those, then one really cannot be considered a non-believer. Then he says, وَالْمِيثَاقُ الَّذِي أَخَذَهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى مِنْ آدَمَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامُ وَذُرِّيَّتِهِ حَقٌّ وَقَدْ عَلِمَ اللَّهُ فِي مَا لَمْ يَزَلْ عَدَدْ مَنْ يَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةِ وَعَدَدَ مَنْ يَدْخُلَ النَّارِ جُمْلَةً وَاحِدَةً فلا يزاد في ذلك العدد ولا ينقص منه وكذلك أفعالهم وكل ميسر لما خلق والأعمال بخواتيم والسعيد من سعد بقضاء الله وشقي من شقي بقضاء الله وأصل القدر سر الله في خلقه لم يطلع على ذلك ملك مقرب ولا نبي مرسل والنظر التعمق في ذلك ذريعة الخذلان وسلم الحرمان فالحذر كل حذر من ذلك نظرا وفكرا ووسوسة فإن الله سبحانه وتعالى طوى علم القدر عن أنامه ونهاهم عن مرامه كما قال تعالى لا يسأل عما يفعل وهم يسألون فمن سأل لما فعل فقد رد حكم الكتاب وكفر وهذا ما يحتاج إليهم من هو منور قلبه من أولياء الله تعالى وهو درجة الراسخين في العلم لأن العلم علمان علم في الخلق موجود وعلم في الخلق مفقود فإنكار العلم الموجود كفر وإدعاء العلم المفقود كفر ولا يصح الإيمان إلا بقبول العلم الموجود وترك طلب المفقود والله أعلم. So in this sort of long paragraph, Imam Ash-Shunbulali continues that the Mithaq, the covenant where disembodied humanity, human beings before they were brought into this world, made a pact with Allah, made a pact, a covenant that they will worship, that they recognize Allah as Lord and worship Allah as He truly ought to be worshipped. This covenant that Allah took with the progeny of Adam is a reality. It's true. It's true. And this is the Yawm al-Asr. Yawm al-Asr. the day of Alastu bi Rabbikum. Then it says, whatever will occur, Allah knows from before they've even been created. He knows from pre-eternally, he knows the total number of inhabitants of the paradise and hell. فِيمَا لَمْ يَزَلْ عَدَدَ مَنْ يَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةَ وَعَدَدَ مَنْ يَدْخُلَ النَّارَ جُمْلَةً وَاحِدَةً. So Allah knows the total number of inhabitants of paradise and hell. And that's why فَلَا يَزَادُ فِي ذَلِكَ الْعَدَدُ وَلَا يُنْخَصُ وَلَا يُنْخَصُ مِنْهُ. That Allah knows the number of people. No one can add or subtract to that knowledge that he has of that quantity. Whatever a person was created for, whatever those deeds for which a person was created are facilitated for him. وكذلك أفعاله وكل ميسر لما خلق. Everything will be according to everything will facilitate that for which the final outcome is for some particular object or thing. And then he says, the value of actions is measured by how one ends his life. So whether if you have a good ending, husnul khatima, then your actions would hold as being good. The one who is eternally felicitous, i.e., is happy and truly sa'id, you know, so joyful, is the one for whom eternal facility was decreed by Allah. And the dam, the shaqi, are those whom are eternally damned by Allah's decree. And then he says the basis of predestination or qadr is a secret of Allah in his creation. No angel can draw near nor photograph them, no angel لم يطلع على ذلك ملك مقرب ولا نبي مرسل. No angel can draw near, nor prophet or messenger has been exposed. I.e., they've not been exposed to this knowledge that is a secret of Allah, that Allah has put in creation. So if qadr, if predestination according to the author is a secret, neither an angel nor a prophet have knowledge of this secret, this sir, i.e. the mechanics and workings of how predestination is. والنظر والتعمق في ذلك ذريعة الخذلان. To delve into this matter of qadr, this secret, according to the author, is a means of Allah forsaking a person. And it's a sullam, a ladder towards, or a route towards, hirmanun. It's a path toward being prevented from having, you know, firm faith, or steadfastness in one's belief. So he says, فَالْحَضَرَ كُلَّ حَضَرِ مِنْ ذَلِكَ. So take every precaution not to delve into this matter of predestination. Whether مِنْ ذَلِكَ نَظَرًا وَفِكْرًا وَوَسْوَسَةً, whether in thought, reflection, or insinuations from the devil. Why? For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala طَوَى عِلْمَ الْقَدْرَ عَنْ أَنَامِهِ because Allah did, you know, he veiled this knowledge of predestination from his creation. وَنَهَاهُمْ عَنْ مَرَامِهِ, and he forbade them from sort of trying to sort of get to the heart of what the Qadr is. What the Qadr is. Are you seeking it out? طَوَى عِلْمَ الْقَدَرْ عَنْ أَنَامِهِ وَنَهَاهُمْ عَنْ مَرَامِهِ كَمَا قَالَ تَعَالَى لَا يُسْأَلَ عَمَّا يَفْعَلْ وَهُمْ يُسْأَلُونَ. لَا يُسْأَلْ عَمَّا يَفْعَلْ. Allah will not be questioned about how he acts, rather they is who will be asked, i.e. creatures will be asked about what they did. Then he says, where was I reading? فَمَنْ سَأَلَ لِمَا فَعَلَ فَقَدْ رَدَّ حُكْمَ الْكِتَابِ وَكَفَرَ. If someone asks, why did Allah do such and such act? Then he has indeed rejected the commandment of the Quran and has disbelieved. That is, why does Allah question, if a person questions, why did Allah make some particular decision? Why did Allah decree this particular thing to happen? هذا ما يحتاج إليه من هو منور قلبه من أولياء الله تعالى وهو درجة الراسخين في العلم لأن العلم علمان. So he talks about so what is required by the one whose heart is illuminated and who is among the saints of Allah? This type of belief, in resigning to Allah's decrees and not questioning Allah about them, this kind of belief, يحتاج إلى من هو منور قلبه من أولياء الله تعالى. To inculcate that kind of belief, one is in need of he whose heart is, is illuminated by Allah Azza wa Jal. He's got that illuminated heart, the heart that Allah Azza wa Jal has opened up, illumined with sound knowledge. And it's a hallmark of those who are saintly and those who have rasukh fil ilm, and those who have very, very deep and penetrative knowledge. And then he says, knowledge is of two types. That which is accessible to creation, ilmun fil khalq mawjoodun, is available, accessible, and is in creation. Then he says, wa ilmun, the second type of knowledge, is ilmun fil khalq mafqoodun, fa inkaru al-ilmi al-mawjood kufrun, wa iddi'au al-ilm al-mafqood kufrun. So this mawjood ilm, existent knowledge, available knowledge, is the one that's accessible to our senses, available to all of us, we can make judgments about. Otherwise, we can never really do anything if we don't have any type of knowledge. That's the accessible knowledge. Then he says, inkaring ilm al-mawjood is kufr. To deny ilm al-mawjood is a form of disbelief. And anyone who claims to know knowledge of the unseen is also an act of disbelief. Also an act of disbelief. Because we are claiming to know matters of the unseen, which only Allah Azza wa Jal knows, unless He discloses knowledge explicitly to a particular individual. So knowledge that is accessible, mawjudun, is knowledge that is commonly accessible by is common knowledge that everyone can access, like by the senses or rational proofs or whatever it may be. If we employ our intellect and our senses, we can come to these conclusions, these claims. So we can come to knowledge of Allah's existence. That is knowledge that is mawjud. Al-ilm, that is mawjud. Then he says, وَلَا يَصِحُّ فَإِنْكَارُ عِلْمِ الْمَوْجُودِ كُفْرٌ وَإِدْعَاءُ عِلْمِ الْمَفْقُودِ كُفْرٌ. And for anyone to claim knowledge that is inaccessible, the unseen knowledge, this is disbelief. So we need to have faith in the knowledge that is accessible, even if we haven't ourselves verified it, and we leave the matter to Allah as to the mafqood knowledge, the knowledge that is part of the unseen. We leave pursuing it to find out what is the ultimate meaning. And then he says, Wallahu a'lam. So tarq talab al-mafqood, we should leave trying to seek out knowledge that is not accessible to us. And then he says, rahimahullah, وَنُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّوْحِ وَنُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّوْحِ وَالْقَلَمِ وَبِجَمِيعِ مَا فِيهِ رُقِمِ لَوْ اجْتَمَعَ الْخَلْقُ كُلُّهُمْ عَلَى شَيْءٍ كَتَبَهُ اللَّهُ فِيهِ أَنَّهُ كَائِنٌ لِيَجَعَلَهُ غَيْرَ كَائِنٍ لَمْ يَقْدِرُوا عَلَيْهِ وَلَوْ اجْتَمَعُوا كُلُّهُمْ عَلَى شَيْءٍ لَمْ يَكْتُبْهُ أَنَّهُ كَائِنٌ لِيَجَعَلَهُ كَائِنًا لَمْ يَقْدِرُوا عَلَيْهِ لم يقدروا عليه جف القلم بما هو كائن أنه كائن إلى يوم القيامة وما أخطأ العبد لم يكن ليصيبه وما أصابه لم يكن ليخطئه وعلى العبد أن يعلم أن الله سبق علمه في كل كائن من خلقه فقدر ذلك بمشيئته تقديرا محكما مبرما وليس له ناقض ولا معقب ولا مزيل ولا مغير ولا محول قال تعالى وكان أمر الله قدرا مقدورا فويل لمن صار لله في القدر حصيما وأحضر فيه قلبا سقيما فكان أكفاء أفاكا أثيما. He mentions here, we believe in the tablet, the preserved tablet, and we believe in the pen and all that has been inscribed with it or in it. So this lawh, we believe everything that's been inscribed on it, but via the pen. If all of creation were to come together or brought together to eliminate something whose existence had been inscribed in the tablet based on Allah's decree, they would not be able to prevent its existence. Likewise, if all creatures were to unite together in order to bring into existence that which was inscribed to the tablet, to not exist, they would prove incapable. They would prove incapable. The ink of the pen is dried with regard to the existence of all that shall exist until the day of Qiyam. So nothing can change what is written in the preserved tablets by the decree of Allah until the end time. So if something doesn't afflict a servant, doesn't hit them, it wasn't meant to hit them. And that which does afflict them would never have missed them, i.e. if it does hit them, it was meant to hit them. It was meant to hit them. They couldn't escape it. And if something were to miss someone, then it doesn't matter how much you try, it was going to miss him regardless. And then he, rahimahullah, he says that one must know, وَعَلَى الْعَبْدِ أَنْ يَعْلَمَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ سَبَقَ عِلْمُهُ فِي كُلِّ كَائِنٍ مِنْ خَلْقِهِ فَقَدَّرَ ذَلِكَ بِمَشِيئَتِهِ تَقْدِيرًا مُحْكَمًا مُبْرَمًا وَلَيْسَ لَهُ نَاقِضٌ وَلَا مُعَقِّبٌ وَلَا مُزِيدٌ. A person must know that Allah's knowledge is prior to the existence of everything that exists in His creation. So everything exists by the decree of Allah, by the will of Allah, executed in the most perfect manner. And it's inevitable. And you can't turn around Allah's decree unless you can't overturn it or overrule it, remove it or change it or affect it in any way. And so he says, woe to those who become an enemy to Allah's decree, who bring forth a diseased heart and who are surely transgressing fabricators. فَكَانَ أَفَّاكًا أَثِيمًا. So nothing can change Allah's decree. وَكَانَ أَمْرُ اللَّهِ قَدْرًا مَقْدُورًا. Because His will, if Allah's will has been made to be realized by His power, and He knows everything beforehand. لا مغير ولا محول. Yeah. And then he says, rahimahullah, just wondering what I missed. Okay, I'll read on. If I miss something, then I'll come back to it. والعرش والكرسي حق كما بين الله تعالى في كتابه وهو جل جلاله مستغن عن العرش وغيره محيط بكل شيء علما وقد أعجز عن الإحاطة خلق إحاطة خلقه فما نص عليه هو كما قال ومعناه على ما أراد لا ندخل في ذلك متأولين برأينا ولا متوهمين بأهوائنا فإنه ما سلم في دينه إلا من سلم لله تعالى ولرسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم ورد علم ما اشتبه إلى عالميه ولا يثبت قدم الإنسان إلا على ظهر التسليم والاستسلام والمعراج حق كالإسراء من المسجد الحرام إلى مسجد الأقصى أكرم به النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في يقظة بجسمه الشريف ثم إلى السماوات ثم إلى حيث شاء الله تعالى من علا وأكرمه بما شاء وأوحى إليه ما أوحى. So the arsh, the throne and the you could say the footstool are realities. The true, as Allah has made clear in His book in many, many places, the reality of what the arsh is and what the kursi is. And Allah is in no need of any arsh, any throne, and is in no need of any footstool, any kursi, anything. He's not in need of anything. Muhiyatun bi kulli shayin ilma. His knowledge encompasses and surrounds everything. In other words, he knows all things. Everything is in his knowledge. And he has incapacitated ajaza an ihatati khalqahu. He has rendered his creation unable to encompass anything. whatever Allah, فَمَا نَصَّ عَلَيْهِ, whatever Allah has mentioned in the text, like of the Quran, هُوَ كَمَا قَالَ, it is as he has said. It isn't any other way, and no one can make it any other way. وَمَعْنَاهُ عَلَى مَا أَرَادَ, the meaning of what Allah intended is according to what he intended. The meaning isn't other than what Allah intended the meaning to be. لا ندخل في ذلك. We do not delve into such matters. متأولين برأينا. We don't try and give our interpretations of these things, these matters, based on our mere opinions. Nor do we لا متوهمين بأهوائنا. Nor do we offer some kind of fanciful, far-fetched understanding, whimsical understanding. And what we feel like the understanding should be. So we don't interpret what Allah has mentioned in his book from our mere opinions, nor do we interpret whimsically. So we do not misinterpret the Quran based on our desires, what we feel is right. And then he, rahimahullah, mentions anyone who, no one is safe in their religion except for the one who makes utter submission to what Allah and his messenger have brought. وَرَدَّ عِلْمَ مَا اشْتَبَهَ إِلَىٰ عَالِمِهِ. So anything that is ambiguous in the Quran, anything that is from, you could say, the mutashabihat, matters that are unclear and ambiguous, you consign that meaning and understanding to Allah and his messenger. Or you consign the meaning ila alimihi. So waradda ilma mashtabahu ila alimihi. So you defer the meaning, you consign the meaning to Allah and his messenger and to those who have knowledge of these ambiguous matters, these unclear matters, like the rasikhuna fil ilm, those who have penetrative knowledge. Then he says something beautiful. وَلَا يَثْبُتُ قَدَمُ الْإِسْلَامِ إِلَّا عَلَىٰ ظَهْرِ التَّسْلِيمُ وَالْإِسْتِسْلَامِ. One's religion will not be the foundations or the basis of one's entire religion or religious practice. One's entire deen will not be strong unless it is based on surrender and taslim, by submitting to Allah and surrendering to what Allah and his messenger have brought. So your foot literally cannot make a step unless the back of your religion is submission and surrender. And then he says, so this Islam is all about surrender and submission, where the surrender and submission is required. Then the mi'raj, the heavenly ascent, haqqun. And the night journey, the isra, from the sacred precinct, al-Masjid al-Haram, in Mecca al-Mukarramah, to al-Masjid al-Aqsa, the furthest mosque, Masjid al-Aqsa, in Jerusalem. This is all true, is real. أُكْرِمَ بِهِ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ. The messenger of Allah was honored by Allah with this heavenly ascent and night journey. The Prophet was honored by Allah, and he was honored, according to the author, فِي الْيَقَضَ بِجِسْمِهِ الشَّرِيفِ. He was honored with this ascent and night journey in a wakeful state with his noble body. Some people say this is all done via the soul, only purely through the soul it's the soul that went into the ascent and the night journey, the heavenly ascent. It was done in a state of not bodily, but just spiritually. But some people say his body was taken as well onto the heavenly ascent and the night journey, but it was not in a wakeful state, but in a state of sleep. In a state of sleep. Thumma ila samawat. And then the Prophet was taken to, he ascended into the heavens, the different levels of the heavens. ثُمَّ إِلَىٰ حَيْثُ شَاءَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَىٰ مِنْ عُلَىٰ. And then he was taken to the pinnacle where Allah willed him to reach, the furthest boundary of all limits and understanding, by wherever that limit was that Allah willed it to be. The pinnacle, the summit, the boundary of all reality. And then وَأَكْرَمَهُ بِمَا شَاءَ وَأَوْحَى إِلَيْهِ مَا أَوْحَى. And then an allusion to Surah Al-Najm. وَأَوْحَى إِلَىٰ عَبَدِهِ مَا أَوْحَى. Allah then revealed to his servant whatever it is that he revealed, keeping the details a secret out of a sense of honor and covetousness. But it's a rhetorical style in the Quran. When something is kept, undisclosed and undivulged like that, it's to respect the intimacy between two people. So we will then end it here to see if anyone has any questions. Sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammad. Yeah, Ismail. Okay, if no one has any questions, we will then continue with Faslun fi Taftil. We're going to look at the Tartib al-Fudul or Tartib al-Fada'il, Tartib al-Fada'il, the sequence of the hierarchy of who is meritorious, who is more meritorious, or scales of who is more meritorious in rank. So we'll continue reading bi-idhnillahi ta'ala next week. Unless there's any questions, and it doesn't look like there are, we will pick it up then. And I hope to see you well. Same time, same day, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. And thank you for your time reading through this text. May Allah accept our sort of meager efforts in reading this. Allow us to attain benefit from it. And allow us to have the sound creed. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين. والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.